a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Emden studios. For folks, for all your Michigan apparel and merchandise needs, make sure to visit the Emden and head to your local Emden location and Emden.com to see the latest Jordan and Nike Michigan gear and apparel. New stuff continues to arrive daily, and the season tees are now in the Emden and the Victors collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The ticket. Let's look so forward. Every single week, you got to say Mike, say Mike. Got to do say Mike. Yep. Okay. Yep. You guys. Sorry. See, Brian got here, so he didn't have to share with me.
Yeah, I got here first. I was like, man, I got to get here. So I got
a canal, Panama.
Yes.
Although I'm sitting in the middle, though. I'm feeling some Brian Cook power.
And so now you're getting with two guys. CTE. Yeah,
so I don't have CTE.
He said he had CTE from sitting next to you.
Yeah, but I don't say crazy stuff like Brian does, though.
What? Oh, my God.
I look so forward to this every single week. I know everyone out there already can tell.
Sam.
I hear you. So we have Brian Cook from Imago Blog. Brian, how are you?
Good. I was good. Now I'm bad.
All right. We have Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have the guy who Joe Simon says can't guard him. Craig Ross wants to talk about my game. He cannot guard me. I'm talking about Craig Ross.
Hey, I saw Tom Harmon play, and I can guard him. He's in his prime. I'm so damn old, I saw Tom Harmon play.
Nobody you know is in their prime, Craig.
That sounds like a challenge to Joe Simon, who says, hey, gee, Craig can't guard me.
Joe's a great guy and a fine lawyer.
All right, well. We'll see how you're talking after you guys actually play a game. We'll see how we get that set up. It's 9:08 on a Thursday morning. Speaking of, we will see. You know, we will see who the starting quarterback is for Michigan, but I think most of us expect it to be Wilton. That is a reality, a likely reality that many Michigan fans lament. They shouldn't. And one of the reasons why they shouldn't is because they are drastically, I think, overvaluing in their assessment his performance in that Iowa game. Yeah. And the evidence of that was this Pro Football Focus ranking.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are holes that could be poked in it.
There are.
But here's why I found some validation in it. I really feel like outside of the Iowa game, he was a pretty decent deep ball thrower.
He was. Two things is that the collarbone injury made it so that he really didn't throw deep at all
in the Ohio State game
and the Florida State game. So like those are like two of the best defenses you oppose. You're not even like trying to go deep, so that will naturally make your deep ball proficiency look better. And then the other thing is it's like 20 plus yards, and I think Spate was like really really good at like 20 to say like 30. And like the butt zone where like he's hooking up with him and all these seams and stuff. Like I thought he was very good. And once you get to like true deep balls.
So what's deep ball to you?
A deep ball to me is like a 40 yards in the air.
So 40 plus yards.
Yeah. Now,
so
were like, they measuring balls in the air or were they counting yards after catch?
I'm assuming that it was in the air.
Yeah, see, I'm not so sure that they would even have that data.
Pro Football Focus, the thing about them is they chart the games themselves. Okay. So
well, and there's inherent error in charting too, right? I mean, this is someone watching the game. I mean, it's not like they have tracking on the ball and they know exactly
you could be 20 yards from – from 15. I mean, why is that hard to chart distance?
We got the Pro Football Focus data last year, and they had like nine different, or not quadrants, I guess, if there's nine of them, but they had nine different areas of the field where they graded each quarterback. Mm-hmm. So like I trust their numbers, and I trust the fact that if they said that he had the best rating of anyone in the Big Ten, that he did. I think there are reasons for that.
Well, who was the competition in the Big Ten?
McSorley.
McSorley.
McSorley was two,
second.
And Clayton Thorson was number three.
So like that's not exactly a murderer's row.
Correct.
Well, but notice JT Barrett's not on that list.
Well, he
but,
can't throw the ball at all.
They had no wide receivers either.
He could a couple years ago.
But like him finishing ahead of Sorley is an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Because like he had 9.3 yards in attempt. He was always bombing it to Godwin. Like their whole offense last year was just like, what if we throw it 50 yards downfield to like some tall guys and see what happens? And it was like, oh, it worked again. Mm-hmm. So like for that to be – for him to finish in front of McSorley is kind of like, okay, I think that McSorley had a better year when it came to true bombs last year, at least Penn State did as a team. But I think that does – I think it is really useful to, like, you know, put that in front of some Michigan fans and be like, all right, I guess there must be something to this because I think there is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got a message from a guy. Ira was telling me about it this morning. He said guy was mad because we were saying that the, you know, the battle, air quotes, was between Wilton and John O'Korn. He said, well, why are you guys on the radio saying that? We saw in the spring game that it was really Brandon Peters. He's really the guy that they're doing about it. I was like, man, why are you listening if you aren't listening?
I mean, well, can I kind of agree with that guy, though?
Come on, man.
I know that Harbaugh came out and said it, but just like given what we saw from O'Korn last year, given what we've seen of Peters so far, given the fact that Peters is still like on an upward swing and O'Korn pretty much is what he is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that was more like a wake-up call in public than like an actual reflection of the picture.
Yeah, put it this way. I think if things hold like they are now and Wilton is your starter and God forbid something happens in the game against Florida, I think O'Korn would go in the game.
Really?
If things hold like they are right now, I think he would go in the game.
That's what I believe that also. I think guys are just wrong about it.
So, I mean, I understand O'Korn looked better in the spring game. He didn't look like the same quarterback that we saw against
Louisiana. Same thing in Rome. Same thing in Rome. He looked really good.
And I know that Peters probably threw the worst pass of the entire
Peters
spring
game. Brandon looked good in both. And look, anytime you have this discussion, it's like it's an indictment of Brandon Peters' ability or upside. Brandon Peters is the, in my opinion, I don't know what they think. In my opinion, he's the most talented quarterback they have. But you keep hearing them talk about, you know, command of the offense, command of the team, command of the huddle, command now of the protections. That's the, you know, another piece to the puzzle that has been added to the quarterback responsibilities. I think right now, and it could change, maybe it could change down the stretch here of fall camp. But right now, if things hold like they are where they are at this moment, I think if something happened to Wilton in that first game, John O'Korn would run out there.
I mean, that's what the coaches are saying. I
understand that's what the coaches are saying. It might actually be what they believe as well.
Yeah.
They believe it, they're wrong. Is that a hot take?
That's not a hot take.
That's like a normal take outside of this room.
That's a hot take if you're saying Jim Harbaugh and Pim Hamilton are wrong. That's a hot take.
Well, I mean – how likely is it that like the guy we saw at Indiana last year has improved so radically that he's going to stay in front of a guy who's really a comer?
You know, it would be here's what you don't know. You don't know if what you're seeing in practice will translate.
I mean, we heard all about how O'Korn was a better quarterback than Jake Rudock. Like when Rudock was struggling early in his year.
And so you don't know if it's going to translate. Your point.
Like,
right.
There are some guys like Joe Bolden who just get talked up and they're like, oh, this guy's going to be really awesome because he's just awesome in practice, and then it doesn't really translate to game day. So maybe that's what they're seeing.
Could be. And
see the game.
I don't feel any less confident about what Brandon Peters is going to be. He's a redshirt freshman. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the thread on the board, but there was a guy like, it's like, dude, if he hasn't made progress.
I've seen plenty of stuff myself.
It's like he hadn't made this progress by this point. Oh, he's a bust.
Yeah, like really? I'm moving on to McCaffrey. Like this guy, whatever. Like,
what? Like, are you serious? He's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be fine. But he is, you got to be able to move the crowd. You got to be able to move your guys mentally, emotionally. And that's, he's taking steps in that progression. He's clearly
is that really like just he's got to like clap more. Like I
think if you know him, you know his stoicism is kind of.
I want a stoic quarterback. I want a quarterback who just obviously
you
doesn't
want the anti-Harbaugh.
I like a guy who like if the pressure's gonna come up, he's just kind of like.
Right.
And this is nothing. I'm a stoic. Like I've been I've been waterboarded several times. Like,
and so yeah, there's a benefit to that type of to that type of demeanor. Right? I made that point the other day, but to be in the crosshairs, to have to be down or have a team kind of bearing down on you, and to be able to just by your presence and just by your voice to bring that calm. Over the offense or to instill confidence in that offense before you even break the huddle. That's a thing. That's a thing. And I think that's a thing that they're looking for.
We made this mistake before. Last year when I wrote my article for the Ann Arbor Observer, I said, I don't care what the coaches are saying. John O'Korn's going to be the quarterback. Right.
I didn't make that mistake.
Well, I did.
You did.
I did. I mean, and all I kept hearing, oh, yeah, Wilton Spate from the coaches. No way. O'Korn's going to be the quarterback. And I think even in Hail to the Victors, everyone predicted John O'Korn was going to be the quarterback. And
that's written like months before.
I know. But I still didn't believe what I was hearing. This year, I'm going to believe what I'm hearing. And when the coaches are saying John O'Korn's running number two, I assume John O'Korn is running.
He is running number two. I mean he is.
Just because you're crazy. Running number two doesn't mean that you're number two.
That very well could be the case. I mean you can make the judgment call that it's more beneficial to your team to throw him in there right now to get him ready. That the gap isn't so wide between Brandon and John O'Korn that to throw John in now would be this tangible advantage, whereas you throw Brandon in, the upside as you go on throughout the season, it's beneficial to have him take whatever lumps he's going to take. Now, I mean, we saw that with Chad. I remember that Notre Dame game in 04. He couldn't complete a pass in that game. You get to the Texas game or the Rose Bowl against Texas. That was one of the best quarterback performances I've seen from a Michigan quarterback.
Yeah, and it's not just about this year. It's about down the road as well. I feel like you might see O'Korn come in if, Spate gets dinged or he's out for a quarter. If he's out for six games, I think you're probably going to see Brandon Peters.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it works out.
Hopefully Spate just doesn't get hurt. He's good. He plays like he did the first eight games of the year last year.
And I guess we don't even
need to talk about this.
I do want to get back to Wilton and your thoughts on Wilton before we get to the break. I think we can all agree that fans don't give him enough credit for what he was last year. But the question is, what is he? What do you think he can? Better question. What do you think he can be?
So I have an operative theory of Wilton Spate, and that's there's the Harbaugh version of him. And then there's the non-Harbaugh version of him. And the Harbaugh version of him is a really, really good quarterback. And sometimes when bad things happen to him, he reverts back to old bad habits and gets extremely inaccurate and wild. So this happened after he got ear-holed by Chidobe Awuzie in the Colorado game, and he was like really off for the rest of that game and the next game. They get to the bye week. They come back from the bye week. The 3 weeks after the bye week, they have 16 first half possessions, 12 touchdowns, 3 field goals, and 2 of those field goals are at like with the clock expiring, so they didn't get stopped by the defense. Mm-hmm. The clock stopped them. At that point, like a lot of the advanced stats think Michigan's offense is amongst the best in the country. One of them had number 1, one of them had 3, one of them had 8. And then you get the Iowa game. And midway through the second quarter of the Iowa game, he's like 9 of 10. And then he just implodes, and I don't know why. I don't think that was the injury at that point, but he got rattled. He lost whatever mojo he had. He lost that inherent Harbaugh-ness of his quarterback play. Reverts, and then the injury happens, and you don't really know what the rest of the season is. So if he can be that guy consistently through the whole season, I think he can be the best quarterback in the Big Ten. Because you see him, he has that pocket awareness that's downright eerie at times. He can shit. He lost like 23 pounds. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. Because like other guys just bounce off him. And I'm like, just be who you are. But he's fantastic at moving around the pocket, finding people. And when his accuracy is on, it is on. So it's just about, you know, getting through that first period of a game where he's kind of wobbly sometimes, like against Rutgers, first throw against Hawaii is a pick, that kind of thing. And just kind of like being that quarterback he was in the middle part of the season for longer periods of time.
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks generally improve between their first and second year of play.
Yeah.
And so I would expect some natural progression just there. I mean, he's the right quarterback for this team, I think, because of the problematic nature of our pass protection and the offensive line. Plus, I'm not sure we have a running back who can pass protect either. Last year, Devion was pretty good. He wasn't Mike Hart or A-Train, but he was pretty good. And I don't know if they have such a player this year. So I'm a bit worried about the pass protection, to say the least. And one thing, as Brian points out, that he can do is he does have a sort of mystical ability to read the pressure, adjust, dodge the draft. If they hit him, they bounce off sometimes. And that's really the guy this team needs. In terms of his long-term prognosis, I mean, the ordinary comparison has been Ben Roethlisberger. To me, as I've said, he reminds me more of Roman Gabriel, but either one is pretty damn good.
Nobody knows who that is.
I know, but he was good and played in the NFL for many years.
Played in Philly, right?
He actually played out in L.A.
Oh, that's right. He played all
this. Yeah, and so...
I knew weird things in the helmet.
But, I mean, I think that's possible. You don't have to have the greatest arm even to play in the NFL. He has a better arm than Joe Capp. Joe Capp took Minnesota to the
in the 1950s.
No, it was later than that. And I think, is he a better, could he be better than Trent Dilfer? Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, for the record,
he won a Super Bowl.
Craig, for the record, he did play in Philly from 73 to 77. So
I think Spate, I mean, if the defense is as good as I think it's going to be, and the offensive line can be just a little bit better than I think it's going to be, I mean, I think Wilton Spate is good enough to win the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah. I think he's certainly potentially the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I mean, I don't have any question about that.
Gotcha. I agree too.
Potentially. I mean, I'm not saying that he's that's a fact that it's going to happen.
Yeah. I think he had
good receivers last year. I mean, all those guys are
going to have good receivers this year.
Jake Butt is in the NFL, but dude. Yeah. I mean, if the spotlight doesn't get them, if they can get to where they're supposed to be, with the lights on, he has in the receiving core, he has more talent.
What?
Yeah, he has more talent.
Those guys both got drafted.
In the receiving core, he has more talent.
And you're right, talking about think, like freshmen.
Yeah, we think a lot of this freshman class, right?
Just because
remember Grant Perry's first.
Just because
game?
They have more talent doesn't mean they're gonna be as productive.
Oh, okay.
But he has more talent.
You know,
no question. He has more talent.
We didn't get to a question we had last week at the end of the show, and a guy asked us about defensive backs and where that shakes out.
Yeah,
and there was a question from a coach this week, and I can't remember who the coach was, but he didn't seem real happy with our corner play.
No, they've been banging on it for the whole offseason.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't seem happy with it, and which made me feel like, well, the wide receiver play maybe is pretty good. So I don't know.
Here's where I want to get to a break, because when we come back on the other side, look, there were some significant losses, a couple of Michigan's opponents, and I want to get your guys's take on how that will impact things. But one thing that I want to make clear that I was very wrong on, I completely misread the talent level of Tariq Black. I thought he was a really good player, but thought that there was a significant gap in upside between he and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to give myself credit for being once right. Last spring, I said that of the tape I saw, he was my favorite receiver. Yeah,
I'm still on Team Oliver Martin, actually.
Well, I am. I love Oliver Martin. I love all these guys. But Tariq Black is a dude.
Yeah, Tariq Black.
We need you to get as excited about your books as you are about Tariq Black, Greg Ross.
We got to get to a break. Wisconsin, big loss. Florida, big loss or losses. When you can consider they lost a big time defensive player as well. What impact will that have on those teams and their outlook against Michigan? We'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. Our friends at Suburban, Chevrolet, Cadillac in Ann Arbor keep coming out with the great deals. Going to entice you. Going to get you down there. If you're in the market for a new car, they have three great Chevy leases each for under $100. Make it down to the corner of Jackson and Wagner Roads. And right now, you can lease a 2017 Chevy Traverse for $87 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $184 per month for 24 months. So you can get into a 2017 Chevy Cruze LT, one of the most fuel-efficient vehicles on the road, for $89 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $187 per month for 24 months. And last but certainly not least, the 2017 Chevy Trax. You can lease that one also for $89 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $186 per month for 24 months. For those and other great lease deals, make it on down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor and make the choice. So guys, earlier this week, news broke out of Florida that seven Gators were going to be suspended for the opener, most notable of which was Antonio Callaway. We got a chance to talk to Bob Redman from Gator Country, the Scout.com Florida site, and he said he was the top playmaker for Florida and maybe their top player. Steve Clark was more bullish. He said there's no question he was their top player. And he said, you know, this is a guy that has speed, shake like Steve Breston. I mean, he was giving him all kind of accolades and said he would have been one of the top receiving threats Michigan has faced in recent years. And he's not going to be on the field for Florida, you know, come September 2nd. And not only that, they already lost Marcel Harris, their top returning tackler. What do you think these recent losses, I know the other six suspensions weren't as nearly as notable as the two missing guys that I just mentioned. Yeah. What do you think? What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on the game?
Four or five of those guys wouldn't have seen the field.
No.
There's one, a defensive end, Davis, I think. He might have seen a few snaps.
He had like 30 tackles last year, so he's like a rotation defensive
end. He's a rotation DN, defensive end, who would have seen some time. But the other guys weren't going to be on the field, so calling it seven, yeah, but it's really one and a half.
Yeah.
And Callaway's a big deal. I mean, I think it was Redman who said they've got a bunch, that's a deep position for them. They've got a bunch of guys.
Is it?
They said they recruited 8 four-star guys in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but they're young. That's a guy who had like 400 more receiving yards than anyone on their team.
Yeah, no, it's consequential. But I think the safety is more consequential because now they're stuck moving Chauncey Gardner back to safety, which I believe they are. And so their corners are going to be as green and perhaps not as talented as our corners. And I think that's the problem for Florida in this game more than their offense. It's they have a good defense, but they're soft at the corners. They've moved Gardner back to safety to help with that problem. You know, I see that as the potential weakness in the Florida team.
Well, I think their biggest problem is the fact that they don't have a quarterback yet. Like, Zaire transfers in, and they're still talking about Luke Del Rio. Like, that can't be good. That's
right. Yeah, I mean, I think the impact of the injury kind of depends on how the offense and defense match up. I mean, if Florida was going to struggle anyways because their line continues to stink and the quarterback continues to stink, then
I mean,
having your wide receiver, you know, maybe you chuck one up to him because he's a dominant guy, but probably doesn't matter that much. I mean, if they can actually move
Callaway's
the ball
like
the defense.
A 5'11 guy who gets like he's like a high-level NFL draft pick. So he's the kind of guy, well, even if your quarterback sucks and even if your line can't protect, that you can just throw it out there to him at 5 yards or on a screen and he can make something happen. And they've probably got some guys who are up-and-comers and who might be able to replicate that, but we knew that Callaway could do that, and we don't know if anyone else can.
I mean, don't you guys think it's really likely that Zaire is going to be the starter?
Yeah, against Michigan?
Yeah.
I mean, I Bob said the guy doesn't know the offense.
Oh, really?
But I mean, let's
not offense.
Yeah, you're gonna walk into it's like Jake Rudock, right? Early in the season, he's pretty bad because he doesn't know what he's doing, and that's a guy who had a ton more experience than Zaire. So, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if it was Del Rio because you got Franks, who's still like a very raw young quarterback.
Prospect. And that's who Bob thinks is gonna be the quarterback is Franks.
I mean, he's the biggest upside guy by a mile because he's 6'5" and he's got a Shane Morris kind of arm, but he's got a Shane Morris kind of arm. And he's kind of that.
Wait, that's a good thing for Michigan.
He's that kind of quarterback prospect where he's got all the physical upside in the world, but he's still working to get there. So, and you know, the recent history of Florida quarterbacks is not encouraging for their development process.
I was shocked. The thing, because I said, Bob, why at Florida? Are they struggling on offense? I know you aren't a big McElwain guy, but he does seem to he's been places where the offense has been good for whatever reason.
He's been for the reasons where, that he's at Alabama and then he's got Alabama at Colorado State.
So, but the offense is he's supposed to have good talent at Florida and he's not doing anything so far on offense. And I think Nuss is a good coach and they haven't been able to get it done. He said, look, in Muschamp's time in Florida they had 2 4-star receivers in his tenure.
Yeah, they're still. I mean, that's a very Brady Hoke-ish kind of number, right? Because like they had that one recruiting class where it was just 3 guys who were, who's this guy? So he's definitely going to be on the hot seat if things don't start going well this year, especially on offense. This is the school that Steve Spurrier was at,
right?
And they've been terrible on offense for like a decade now.
Right. Well, I mean, I think part of it has been the inability to run the ball over the last 2 seasons. I know they were awful 2 years ago. They were 97th in my adjusted yards per carry. I think that's both an indictment of the offensive line and, you know, they're supposed to have some talent at skill positions being down there in Florida and the way they were recruited.
And that was his point. He's like, you're at Florida. And you're in the state of Florida, and you can't get receivers?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just a fluke that they've just all the talents come on the defensive side of the ball over the last couple of years. But, I mean,
no.
I think part of
you got
you can't find receivers, and you're in Florida?
Right, and you're, no, and you're
I
at
agree.
The, you're at
I
the
agree.
University
I agree. I think
of Florida.
That is the more likely explanation.
Like, come
but
on,
but
man.
The running game's not helping their quarterbacks either. So, I mean, I think a lot of that, I mean, everyone's to blame, I think, when you look at the numbers.
Yeah. So, but you have to give McElwain this. They've recruited receivers at that position better since he's been there. There are some guys. He talked up Tyree Cleveland, who I know is a big time talent. He's 6'4", 6'5". He's a
well. But the thing about McElwain, which I think is interesting, I was thinking about. Well, who's the best coach in the SEC East? And he probably comes in second.
To who?
I think Butch Jones is a clear first.
What?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Wow.
Dude, well, first of all, there's no good coaches in the league. So it's all relative.
I would give it to Kirby.
I know he hasn't done anything yet,
a
head coach.
But he's recruiting like a mother, and like he's gonna get there, I think.
He may get there. But who would you want to put confidence in right now?
If you're giving me the pick of anybody in the East, that's who I'm going with.
I'm taking Butch Jones.
Butch Jones.
He had a disappointing year last year.
Life.
Well, no, he had a bad year
the
last year.
The man who
there
hired Mike DeBoer as offensive coordinator.
He's gone. They had
I know he's
injuries
gone.
On defense last year.
Hey,
they've recruited
I
well.
I that Mike DeBoer does a good job at Indiana.
I bet you he does not.
All right, we'll see how that one goes. I'll remember.
And the offense was fine down the stretch. It's the defense that fell apart last year.
So it was fine when they were behind. And then there's some crazy stat from Tennessee where it's like they blew these huge leads. And that's – I'm like, oh, I remember that.
I remember that. The quarterback play was, I think – at fault a lot. I mean, well,
whose responsibility was
that? I hear you. You got to go out and get you a better guy.
They had Josh Malone, and that guy is
big
a
time.
Beast.
Yeah, he is.
And like every once in a while, they'd like throw it 50 yards down the field to Malone, and he like punch 6 guys and then catch the ball. And I'm like, oh, surprised that works still. I guess. I don't know.
Man. All right, so they weren't the only team. Florida wasn't the only team to experience a loss. Jack Citchie. For the Wisconsin Badgers, out for the season. Feel bad for the guy. He's been bitten by the injury bug in the past. But this one robs him of the year. And when you look back at that linebacking core for Wisconsin, I remember looking at them heading into the season, thinking there's no way they get through this murderer's row schedule. They did. And I remember thinking in that Michigan game, they didn't have Vince Beagle, and thinking and that was going to be a huge issue for them. And it wasn't.
Yep.
And one of the reasons why was Jack Citchie was all over the place, led him in tackles.
And TJ Watt.
Yeah. So TJ Watt leaves early, is a first round pick. And in one preseason game, I made this point yesterday, in one preseason game, he sits James Harrison down. That was a big time crew. And now you remove Citchie from the equation. To me, that just feels huge. That now that all three guys are gone from last year.
There's a guy I talked to in Madison. He his kids are Michigan grads, but he's a Wisconsin grad and a big Wisconsin fan. And he sent me a note saying, "Won't matter."
And Steve Clark said the same thing.
I don't think it matters either.
He said, "Look, this is a system." And he goes, yeah, since she's a great player, because I thought he was one of them.
I'm gonna see that to believe it.
You know, and he says they won't miss a beat.
They had a ton of injuries last year. They had Sitchie go out, they had Watt go out, they had Beagle go out, and it just didn't matter. They have TJ Edwards back. They have some other kid who's got some small sample size, but he's a great coverage linebacker, which Sitchie also was. Like, I just. The number and sheer depth of their linebacking core last year, I just don't think it matters. If he was an outside linebacker, I think that might have been a bigger problem. Like, I don't know who they're going to get to replace the guys they lost on the outside and kind of prop that pass rush up.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're looking at Wisconsin, you got to look at the position. Like, if they lose their top cornerback, I think that's a much bigger deal because they're not traditionally strong in the secondary. If they lose their top receiver, like the guy that can get downfield, that's a big deal. That front seven...
I'm willing to come back and say I'm wrong if Michigan goes into that game.
Except we don't find out until Michigan goes into that game, right? Like, who does Wisconsin play this year?
I remember Citchie and TJ Watt thinking, wow.
Their schedule is the lightest schedule ever, even by Wisconsin standards. That's a meatball schedule.
Well, no way. They had a really hard schedule
last year. Because they opened
and now they get
LSU. Yeah.
And now they're scheduling.
They're caking it. It's a cakewalk schedule this year. I mean,
they signed up Notre Dame at two neutral sites, which is, I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they don't have, Wisconsin doesn't play Penn State, I don't think, and they don't play Ohio State.
I mean, they do play Michigan. It's not the easiest schedule.
But they have them at home, though.
Like, they don't, do they play Michigan State?
That would make it more.
They do have a meatball schedule.
Yeah, I think they do.
We went over this the other day. It was like
there's nothing on that schedule until they play Michigan.
And that's why, I mean, people expect them to be a good team. But
they'll lose to Minnesota.
The schedule has a lot to do.
Row the boat. They'll probably drop a game.
Row the boat.
But.
So, yeah, their non-conference is Utah State, Florida Atlantic, and BYU.
BYU's not bad.
BYU's not terrible. And then that's
on the road, I think, too.
They have to go on the road. Right.
That's like not even close to their worst non-conference schedule the last 10 years.
Well, that was my point. I mean, they generally play
great. They have BYU, that's legit.
They open up Big
Ten conference. But they might not play a ranked team until the second to last week of the year.
Right, they can't control their conference schedule.
They open up against Northwestern. They're at home against Northwestern, and they travel to Nebraska.
Ooh.
Nebraska's all right.
And you got to move down. It's Purdue, Maryland at home, at Illinois, at Indiana.
They could get got by Maryland.
And then they're home against Iowa and Michigan.
Loss.
And they got their two Minnesota
against Iowa. And
Iowa this year.
Wisconsin's going to be undefeated coming into the Michigan.
Iowa has a lot of talent.
Iowa has two guys named,
they have Iowa talent, or do they have lots of talent?
They have, I mean, they need some wide receivers. They get Vandenberg back. They have Akron Wadley, who I think we all know is pretty good. They have I think he's a rising junior defensive end named Anthony Nelson, who was super productive last year. Quarterback is some guy.
Some guy.
All right, we got to get to a break. And they close out at Minnesota.
Lost.
Wisconsin does as well. Man,
7-5.
7-5. They're going to be 10-2 or 11-1.
And that's why you think Citchie doesn't make a difference, because you don't think they're very good.
No. It's the scheme that they play and where they're traditionally strong. That's why he doesn't make a difference.
And people, I mean, this guy Badger Ken in Madison said they got some problems on the team, but it ain't linebacker.
We shall see. All right, we got to get to a break. Come back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WT. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios and the MGO Blog Roundtable back in effect. And so Big Ten conference schedule announced on the basketball side of things, an opportunity to talk just a little bit of basketball. A lot of hand-wringing over the early start to the schedule. John Beilein didn't seem to be too upset about that. Said, you know, we're going to get a lot of excitement started in December now. You got to have the students
around on campus. That stretch from North Carolina, the two opening Big Ten games, to UCLA and Texas is quite a stretch of
for two weeks. I'm sure he's privately furious. Like every Big Ten coach is probably furious.
They have a Monday. They have Monday Big Ten games this season.
You know what? But hey,
four games in 8 days. It's ridiculous.
I don't know, because he seemed to, he expressed his displeasure with having Michigan State on the schedule only once. So if you really felt
I mean, he's got to say that for like PR.
It's political.
Reasons,
yeah, it's political. He has no choice whether he might want to say, hey, I hope we never play him again.
But like, this is going to be insane. There's going to be like a week of the season where there's just no Big Ten basketball, and you're going to compress everything just so you can like play at Madison Square Garden to like make Jim Delaney feel good about his ego.
Did I read this right? That Jim Delaney got a $20 million bonus?
He did.
Now, what's worse, Jim Delaney getting a $20 million bonus to be Big Ten commissioner?
That.
Or Charlie Weiss getting $20 million to not be the coach at Notre Dame?
Charlie Weiss.
No. Jim Delaney. Charlie Weiss at least was entertaining. So I'm like,
yeah, but Jim Delaney, like, as much as we all hate him, makes money for the Big Ten.
But he gave us Rutgers.
Anybody in his position.
Charlie Weiss has no affiliation with
Rutgers. I'll give Jim Delaney the Big Ten Network. I'll give him that.
No. Because that was Fox's idea. They came to him with the idea, and they were like, we should
do this. Everyone else thought that was a ridiculous idea. You know, Big Ten, what are you going to air? I mean, when football season's over, this is going to be a money pit. And he did it anyway. I mean, you could have said no.
I
remember
once the TV
that time.
Exec comes to you and he's like, okay, we're going to have like 84 basketball games on this network. That's it. That's all you need. Because like football, you can go to a bar.
It didn't seem, back at that time, it didn't seem like as much of a no-brainer that it was going to be a success.
I thought it was a no-brainer.
If you look at TV contracts across the board, they just go up and up and up. And so like, could I have done that? Probably.
Well, he ain't worth $20 million for it.
Would I have put Rutgers and Maryland in the Big Ten? No, sir.
Maryland's okay.
They're a net negative for everybody who cares about the Big Ten.
We have 9 minutes, 8 minutes left in the show, and you want your mics to stay on, right?
What?
Don't be talking bad about Maryland.
I didn't. I said Maryland has value added.
I respect the University of Maryland. It's a great ACC program.
But what do you guys expect this year's Michigan basketball team to be? I know, you know, we're a little ways out. But
I have no idea.
But most obviously, you know, you look at the Big Ten, most everyone's saying Michigan State. And then you got your Northwestern, you got your Minnesota. How does Michigan fit in that next tier?
I think they're, you know, aside from Michigan State, which is a clear favorite, I think they're in that next year. But I think that next year is probably about six programs deep. I don't really know what to expect from a lot of the Big Ten. And Michigan's one. You have Jerron Simmons, who I think is a really good player, but how will he translate to a higher level? You have Charles Matthews, who could be anything from a 3-and-D guy who can't shoot threes to one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, Moe's going to be good, but can he play any defense? What are they going to do with the floor?
Can he stay on the floor?
Yeah, I mean,
he's got to stay on the floor this year. Hopefully.
Nah, he's got to stay on the floor less than he did last year. They have a plausible backup option this year. They did not last year. Austin Davis is going to be okay.
He is your biggest scoring threat.
Yeah.
If Mo Wagner goes to the bench,
hey, I'm not worried about Michigan's offense.
Oh well, like, I am.
Why?
I am.
Look, every year.
I think that's
year,
the side of the ball that they're
Sam,
gonna
you
out.
You missed a stat that I had it from the other day. I don't think I can dig it up, but Michigan by an amazing long shot leads the nation in field goal percentage on twos at the basket. Like they just get to the hoop and they make twos. Like
it's
let Brian explain. He probably read it more in depth.
Yeah, it was 78% on shots at the rim, which is bonkers. But they're like six from last in the country at like getting shots at the rim.
Yeah. Right.
But it doesn't matter because they shoot from three so well. So it's
make threes and get to the rim and score baskets.
Yeah, it's a really, really good offense, and I'm confident when Wagner goes out that they're going to survive.
You know, the thing is, you got so many questions. First of all, you have a major question of point guard. You don't know how that's going to play out. Could be very good.
Yeah, I like Simmons a lot.
I like X, and I think he's still quite plausible as a Big Ten point guard. And you know, but Charles Matthews, as you point out, we don't know. We haven't seen him. Power forward, and we don't really use it, but that four position is I mean, I don't see Duncan as a very good fit there generally. He's a great shooter, but, you know, I like Isaiah Livers. Is that how you say it? Or Livers?
Livers.
Livers. I like him a lot, but he's a freshman. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so you got just a lot. This could be a really, really, really good team again by the end of the year, but it also a lot depends. I mean, college basketball is a point guard's game. And When Derek was good last year and down the stretch, I mean, we were a really good team.
And they lose Billy Donlin, and they managed mm-hmm. to, like, have the best defense in the country when it comes to preventing three-pointers from going up.
Yeah.
They got a couple of guys from Illinois State, which I think is a great mid-major program to go raid because they obviously should have made the tournament as an at-large last year. There's no question.
And they were good defensively last year.
Yeah, and they hung their hat on D. So, like, yeah. that's a really good idea. So I think it's a tournament team. I think it might be kind of along the same lines of last year if mm-hmm. you look at the whole season. So they won't be as bad at the first half of the season, but they probably aren't going to be a top 10 team in the country in the second half, which they were last year.
You know, Beeline at one presser last year made reference to the fact that they had a hard time in practice stopping Charles Matthews and Austin Davis. And if that's true, I mean, if that really is true, then this could be a really good team. I mean, now Austin Davis has very advanced post moves. I looked at his tape copiously, his high school tape.
I think he's going to be a lot like Ethan Happ.
I don't think he's as good an athlete as Ethan Happ. But
Happ's a very below the rim kind of guy.
But I say.
I mean, he's not going to be like there this year.
This is why I say, wow. I remember talking to Billy before he left, mm-hmm. and he used the Ethan Happ comparison. Now, you're not saying that he's going to be Ethan
right,
Happ.
Right, yeah. But he's going to be.
But that's the kind of
right
of skill set, you know, kind of, sort of.
He's a very
that he can bring to
he's
the
a
table.
Burly, large guy who can box out. He's not an above the rim player. He's very skilled and he's going to be able to get it up on the. On
he has
the
wonderful footwork. But he's a guy that I mean, since when does Michigan under Beeline have a low post player? This dude's a low post player. Last year, who was a low post player?
Well,
Mo isn't really a low post player.
I mean, he got touches
in the post last year,
but I mean. It's never going to be a post-up offense because post-up offense isn't actually that efficient.
Yeah.
Like, right. it's just the worst offense you can go to other than ISO.
I mean, so, I think you got to feel good about next year's Michigan team in the Big Ten because, I mean, clearly Michigan State's at the top. But look at the other programs, right? Northwestern, Minnesota, they still have a lot to prove with young coaches.
Northwestern's
Ohio
got
State,
a lot of talent.
They have a lot to prove. They have a lot to prove.
Yeah, they beat Michigan on some fluky kind of business there.
And you got Billy over there now,
you got like Julia Louis-Dreyfus like screaming from the stands. That's gotta be disorienting.
Billy over there now, so that's another element to the equation for them.
Ohio State, Indiana reloading. I think there's questions about Wisconsin and their coaching situation in the town.
Ohio State isn't reloading, they are rebuilding.
Yeah, I agree with that. To me,
right,
it's Minnesota Northwestern. That's how
I just, right, and I don't. Those two programs just don't scare me.
Richard Pitino is just—he's like the Jim McElwain of the Big Ten, where it's just like, what are you doing? Are you even coaching these guys? Like, are you just rolling the ball out? That's what it feels like to me. But they have Reggie Lynch back, right?
And Nate Mason.
Yeah. Nate Mason's so overrated.
Yeah, I'm not a huge. I'm not a huge Nate Mason.
Get picks over.
He can't shoot. He can't right. shoot. But the guy shoot. Can get to the he can get to the basket.
Yeah, he can get to the rim. But
he was like high uses, low efficiency guy last year.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he was decent efficiency, not nearly in Derek Walton's class.
Yeah, he shouldn't be now, Derek. I'm right there with you, right there with you on that one. So, You know, before we go, I mean, I spent some time. We jumped right into it. I didn't give you guys a chance to talk about what's going on with you and your sites and whatnot. First of all, Craig, give the titles of your books, please.
Go on to the other guys. I have to admit, my wife is so mad at me. Yesterday when I went into Literati to buy some of Margot's books, Brian's wife wrote a book called Discriminating Taste.
Yes.
Looks very interesting. I bought a few. And what I do now and then is I drop one of my books off, autograph it, and put it on their shelves. My wife says that's the rudest thing that anyone could do. But I figure they sell the book or they get confused and they don't have to pay me anything. So, but she thinks this is the dumbest thing any human has ever done. So I'm admitting it. I hope no one from Literati is listening. Wondering how these books show up on their shelf every now and again. But whenever it evaporates, I go back in, I put another one on.
Have you started on your next project yet?
Yeah, I've got a book, but it's so outside. It's on contract bridge. And I've written about 110 pages on an esoteric guide to why. I don't know. Don't even
I know. I know. It's because you're old.
I'm old. I can do. Simon wants to challenge me to a shooting contest.
He does.
You know, I'm almost in a wheelchair. Nice job, Joe.
All right. And Peg, the Power Rank.
We'll put with your butts in a shooting contest.
Real quick.
I run thepowerrank.com. We got lots of college football numbers. I just posted about how I had to how Jim Harbaugh broke my preseason model and how I fixed it.
So all right.
Check that out at thepowerrank.com/blog.
And Brian, you're hitting the road, right?
Yes. I'm going to be in Chicago tonight. Come out for that if you're in Chicago. In D.C. on the 21st and New York on the 22nd.
So all you Michigan fans in those areas, well, clubs get on out and see Brian Cook from MWO.
Well, you're back next week, right?
Yes, sir.
That's Monday and Tuesday, Ed. All right. Plenty of time to get from New York to here by Thursday.
We got to get to get out of here. Coming up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath, followed by the Jim Rome show at noon. The M Zone, J.B. Morris and Marcus Ray at 3. Back tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor Accumulate. Better than